Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Well, I don't know if you have watched the Dragon Boat race 2 days ago. It was a day of festival celebration. Anyone yet ate the rice dumpling? Yeah. Okay, but in the church calendar, today is actually another special day. Do you know what? I think Pastor Peter already mentioned. It's the Pentecost Sunday today. And the Pentecost Sunday is to commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles after Jesus ascended into heaven. And in the book of Acts, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Spirit comes and gives power to every believer. And according to Romans 8:11, the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. All Christians have this power. Now talking about power. Oh, I need to get my remote. Now, some of you may have watched the movie Captain Marvel earlier this year. Anyone watch it? Hey, you are, yeah, a few, okay. Now, in the movie, Carol Danvers, that's the name of Captain Marvel, she received enormous power from the explosion of the light speed engine. Like that, ooh, absorb all the power. And it transformed her body. I'm going to use that analogy today. Like Captain Marvel, Christians receive power at the explosive moment when we accepted Jesus into our life. And all Christians have access to this incomparably great power. It's the power of resurrection. But unfortunately, we often are not aware of this power. Now, let's look at the eschatological timeline, okay? Now, there was power at the cross and resurrection. And there was power at the Pentecost. And there was power when the apostles preached the good news of Jesus in the first century. And we know there is power when Jesus comes again. So, the whole timeline is filled with power. Now, doesn't it seem natural that between the time of the apostles and the second coming of Jesus, there should also be power in the church too? Right? Okay, but too often, our experience tells us otherwise. Oh, the power is so tiny, and we often feel powerless. Now today we ought to regain this power, and we are going to see from the life of Paul and his teaching that the power of Christ's resurrection can change lives. It's going to be theological, so I'm going to refer to quite a bit of movies and Romans. Okay, so let's get into the Bible. Now, the whole book of Philippians has the central theme of centering our lives around Christ. In chapter 3, Paul uses his own life as a testimony of life centering around Christ. Now, Paul had a glorious past, as we see in verses 5 to 6, which we haven't read, but if you have the Bible or you can read on the screen, he told the Philippians, he was circumcised the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, which means the tribe where the first king of Israel coming out of. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Wow, blameless. He was at the epitome of religious requirements. But all that changed when Jesus intercepted him on the road to Damascus. That encounter with the risen Lord changed his perspective of God, life, and values forever. Verse 7. He said, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, before his encounter with Jesus, the things he listed in verses 5 to 6 and more were gained to him, which means those were the things he was so proud of, and those were the things that may one day put him in the leadership position of the Jewish religious system. Those were the things that defined him. But now he not merely let go of those things. Well, not like when we lose money in the stock market, we say, oh, too bad, that's life. Stock market goes down and up. We just accept that gain and losses are a normal part of life. No, he said in verse 9, he said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. He says he regards the things of his glorious past as rubbish. The Greek word for rubbish is skubala. Okay, skubala. Okay, that's a Greek word. It refers to useless or undesirable material that is subject to disposal, refuse, garbage. Even something that will decay, like spoiled food, and to be thrown out. So instead of passively accepting his loss, Paul actually made a choice when he encountered Jesus. He chose to throw away his past, like throwing away garbage or kitchen scrap. He didn't go, oh, goodbye, my dear past, although I love you, but I have to let go. Oh, so sorry. No, he was not like that. He was going like, wow, now I see those things are so, oh, yuck, filthy, detestable. I was so stupid to grab onto them like they were treasures. I have to get rid of those as quickly as possible. So at the moment when Paul chose Jesus, he knew he was throwing away those things, and he did not regret it. And why was that? Because he encountered Jesus, and he immediately saw the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. So what is the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ? He said in verse 9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, through Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So rather than Paul's own good work, faith in Christ provides true passage to God's righteousness. Now see, Paul's entire life in the past was to live by the law, doing the best he could in order to attain righteousness, he thought. But although he was blameless according to the law, he knew deep inside himself he was far from being perfect. As Paul says in the letter to Romans, he said, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. He may not break the law externally, but there are things that he did, and his own conscience tell him that it was not right. Paul knew he was not doing well in front of God, although he may appear to be doing very well in front of people, just like many of us. We are just like Paul. We may appear to be well-behaved, nice, honest people, but we know deep inside in our privacy, the real self is far from being perfect. And we are so different deep inside from what people perceive us. But as Paul said, nothing good dwells in our flesh. If you have been bothered by the thought of that, just like Paul, you will know that knowing Christ is truly surpassing value, because by putting your faith in Christ, his righteousness is transferred to you, and you can become righteous in front of God. I like so much the song that Christian led, the first song, Who I Am. It's really the essence of the righteousness of Christ transferred to us. So nothing else worked, not by good works, not by the law, period. And since it is such a surpassing value, Paul strives to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The Greek word ginosko, to know, it means more than cognitive knowing. It means to grasp the significance or meaning of something, a deep level of comprehension, to know in a personal level of experience. And so for Paul to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings means that he got a grasp and a personal level of experience on Christ's sufferings. Now think about it. Paul went through a lot of suffering for preaching the gospel of Christ, of Jesus. He was whipped by the Roman soldiers many times, just like Jesus was whipped before the crucifixion. And Paul nearly died in more than one occasion, so he was qualified to say that he shares in the suffering of Christ. It's like he was taking a share in the suffering for Christ for the sake of sinners. And he was experiencing the pain that Christ experienced is a true fellowship of Christ's suffering. So what's the point of saying to know Christ and the power of his resurrection? Aren't they the same? And what does Paul mean when he says that he may know Christ and the power of his resurrection? Here is what Pastor Tim Keller said. Let's see if I've got a slide. This slide. Okay. Tim Keller said, the difference between knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection is the difference between knowing a person and resembling a person. It's not about relationship, but about supernatural character growth. Notice the supernatural character growth. When Paul says, I want to know him, it means I want to be with him. But when he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection, it means I want to be just like him. To know the power of his resurrection means I want to be just like Jesus. Now that's a profound statement, and that's exactly the goal of a Christian's life. The worship theologian Constant Cherry once said, the ultimate goal of worship for the believers is to be like Christ, to be more and more like Christ. That's the goal of a Christian's life. Now we notice that Paul does not ask God for more. Oh Lord, give me more power, I need more. No, instead, he strives to know more, to know more, this power of resurrection, which he already has. So, what is the power of resurrection? Now, first, we need to define what we meant by power. Otherwise, we will just get frustrated when things go against our way and we feel powerless instead of being empowered. Now, when we talk about power in the Bible, I think most of us would immediately associate it with some sort of extraordinary power, like Samson. Hey, that Samson actually looks a bit like He-Man. Getting the mighty strength, or when the Holy Spirit comes, people were able to speak in tongues, or the apostles were able to heal the sick and even raise up the dead. Those are extraordinary power. But in our daily life, we don't see those things happening around us. And certainly we don't perform those miraculous acts. Now there, of course, are claims that people actually perform those miracles nowadays. I don't know if anyone have seen it. Well, it's rare that we see that in person. We may hear reports of it, but we don't see it on a regular basis. Now, there are prosperity preachers claiming that the power of Jesus' resurrection reversed the effects of the curse that came with Adam's sin for the believers. So not only death is done away with, sickness is also done away with, and the curse of the ground is lifted, so believers can reap abundant harvest in material possessions. Now they say if we claim this power, even the effect of aging is reversed too. Now, ladies, wouldn't you like it to be true? But I don't find any support in the Bible for such teaching. And I certainly don't know any prosperity preachers or their followers that grow younger, not older. So when Paul talks of the power of his resurrection, he is not talking about the power to do signs and miracles. Those he already did. Just as Dr. David Dean made the point in his last two sermons from Acts and 1 Corinthians, even the apostles did not perform miracles all through their lives. It was only for a period of time to validate their authority and to validate the authenticity of Jewish and Gentile believers coming into the family of Christ. And those signs and miracles happened, but that was only for a time. So rather, if we notice the text, this power of resurrection has to do with the righteousness found in Christ and living a life that centers around Christ. Now let's consider three aspects of this power. Number one, it is the power to have sins forgiven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Now we Christians, we are very well aware of the cross, the crucifixion, and we know very well the blood of Jesus washed away our sins. We even have songs, hymns to sing that. But according to Paul, the cross without the resurrection is useless. The cross must be accompanied by the resurrection. The very fact that Jesus was raised proved that the propitiation power of his blood is sufficient for everyone. Is sufficient for you, for me, and for everybody else in the world. And that's why his body didn't stay in the grave. This tells us that all my sins and all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And that is the power of resurrection. And secondly, okay, this is what John Calvin says. The cross of Christ only triumphs in the breast of believers over the devil and the flesh sin and sinners when their eyes are directed to the power of his resurrection. So second, the power of resurrection is the power to conquer sin. Paul in Romans 6 says, as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. In the context of this newness of life is that we no longer have to obey sin. He says, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's why Paul tells believers, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. He says this in a command, do not let sin reign. If we are powerless against sin, there's no use giving the command, because we won't be able to obey it anyway. But because of the power of Christ's resurrection, we have the power to overcome sin. There's an organization in America called Celebrate Recovery. I don't know if anyone heard of that. It's an organization to help people to get rid of their addiction. And testimony after testimonies are people who witnessed to the power of the resurrection in their lives because of Jesus' resurrection. They were empowered to overcome their addiction of alcohol, of drugs. So if you are interested to know about it, you can go to the website and read all those testimonies. And number three, the power of the resurrection is the power to get through rough times. If we look at the context of Philippians, we know that Paul was being imprisoned, chained to a Roman guard in Rome at the time. And in chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul talks about people who preach Christ out of envy and strife, out of selfish ambition, thinking to cause him distress. And in chapter 2, he talks about his loneliness in preaching the gospel. As he says, he has no one apart from Timothy. He says, they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And actually, this caused him much sorrow. And in chapter 4, he talks about how he learned to get along with humble means, being filled and going hungry, having abundance and suffering need. He had rough times. And on top of this, consider what Paul says when he made a list of his hardship in an earlier letter known as 2 Corinthians. He had far more labors, more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, and 5 times received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rod, 1 was stoned, 3 times he was shipwrecked, a night and a day spent in the deep, that means in the ocean. And he has been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, from robbers, from his countrymen, from the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, on the sea, and amongst false brethren. And he had been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from external things, the daily pressure on him of concern of all the churches. And he said, who is weak without my being weak? So where do you think the strength of him pressing on coming from? is the power of Christ. It's the power of his resurrection that gets Paul through the rough times. Just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, perplexed but not despairing, struck down but not destroyed. And those are the power of the resurrection. So, the power of resurrection, what is it to us? Now, prosperity preachers tell people that we need to claim the power. If you claim the power of the resurrection, you will be tapping into the power for health and wealth and everything else. Now I'm going to say, we don't need to claim the power. The power is already within us. We just need to recognize it and start living with it. So let's look at three aspects of how the power of resurrection empowers us. Now, number one, it gives us the ability to live free. Most people don't realize that the world is under the bondage of sin. People are slaves to sin, as Paul says in Romans 6. You are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death, of obedience resulting in righteousness. We know the atonement of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection power nullifies the effects of sin, so that not only we are forgiven, we don't need to continue living as a slave to sin. When we come to Christ, we all have this power, but we continue to live as though we are weak, and if we are still as though we are still slaves to sin. And actually, Jesus taught the same in the Gospel of John. The Son should make us free. Why is that? Because we are not aware that we have the power to overcome sin. Now remember Captain Marvel? Back to the movie. Now, although she absorbed all that power in that explosion, in the first half of the movie, she didn't know she had that power in her. She got beaten down over and over again by her trainer, Jon Rock. She didn't realize the power inside her was much stronger than that. Although she knew she had this tiny power in her fist. Tiny, just like the church picture I showed earlier. When she tried to use her photon fist to fight back, Jon Rock deceived her by telling her that, okay, every Kree warrior could do that, but you need to control it and not rely on it. So he talked her into holding back her power. He lied to her. Because no Kree warrior could do that except for Captain Marvel. And so she always believed she was under the bondage. She always believed he was stronger than her. And Satan tries to deceive us in the same way. Satan makes us think that we are still powerless against sin. And he uses habits ingrained in us over years to make us believe that we are still slaves to sin. Although we have the resurrection power of Christ in us, that should enable us to conquer sin. But in the later in the movie, when Captain Marvel realized that she had been deceived, she started to explore that power. And when she came to know the power, she broke free. And she even started flying. Now we too must know that Christ has given us the power, and we ought to know that power of resurrection of Christ is much stronger than we think. We have been given the ability to live free from the influence of sin. So secondly, what is this to us? the power of resurrection gives us hope. Now, to be honest and realistic, the world is full of disappointment. We may often find ourselves caught in difficult situations, and those difficult situations maybe sometimes it's caused by our own doing, but maybe sometimes it's not caused by us. Maybe it's just because of the situation we were caught in. Maybe it was like we may be involved in a power struggle at work just because of our position. Or maybe we may be struggling with a personal relationship with family members, friends, or workmates. And sometimes we may feel guilty of causing all the troubles and wonders. And we wonder if God still loves such a bad person like me. But Christ's resurrection tells us that it does not depend on us and our own abilities. Paul says in verse 11, he says, "In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." This is actually a statement of hope. Although he used the subjunctive voice, "may attain," and the ESV translated it, "by any means possible, I may attain." And the NIV say, "and so somehow attaining." It is not an expression of uncertainty, but it is rather a statement of faith that speaks of knowing he will attain the resurrection when Christ comes again. Although the way of life, how it will turn out, is uncertain. The subjunctive is on how getting there and not on the certainty of getting there. J.I. Packer once said, "Optimism is a wish without warrant, but Christian hope is a certainty guaranteed by God himself." Optimism reflects ignorance as to whether good things will ever actually come. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day of his life and every moment beyond it, the believer can say with truth on the basis of God's own commitment that the best is yet to come. I read the story of a six-year-old girl, her name is Ivy, in the Chinese Christian Monthly Journal. This little girl, Ivy, she had terminal brain tumor, but she was full of hope after she received Christ into her life. Remember, she was only 6 years old. She drew a picture of three castles on a cloud with Hello Kitty standing in the midst. And she said, hopefully, "There is home in the heaven, so my castle, mom's castle, daddy's castle are all in the heaven. In the future, we are all going to live in the heavenly home." That's simple hope. So the power of resurrection gives us hope, no matter what struggle we are facing in our life. And thirdly, the power of resurrection gives us the right perspective in life. With the resurrection, we see the unseen realm. We know there's a truly powerful God that can even conquer death, and he promised us the same resurrection life. But this is not just for the future after we leave this world. Paul says in Romans 8, and I'm quoting from the NIV because it expressed the essence of Paul's words in a more understandable way. Paul says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of spirit. If indeed the spirit lives in you, now notice the present tense, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, present tense again, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life, or it means to make alive, to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Notice the interplay of present and future. Here, not only the future resurrection is assured, but even in the present time, while we are still in our mortal body, the effect of life through the Spirit is already present in us. And this motivates Paul to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, like he says in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3. The American Bishop Henry Knox Sherrill, he said, "The joyful news that he is risen does not change the contemporary world. Still before us lie work, discipline, sacrifice. But the fact of Easter gives us the spiritual power to do the work, accept the discipline, and make the sacrifice." Or the words of Josh McDowell, "Few people seem to realize that the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone to a worldview that provides the perspective to all of life." To Paul, it was his former religious achievements that he threw away because he gained the right perspective of life in Christ. To other people not engaged in professional ministry, it may be your work achievement for the sake of Christ. Dr. John Song, the Chinese preacher nearly 100 years ago, when he returned to China, having completed a doctorate degree in chemistry in the United States, that was 1927, he was on board the ship. He made the decision to commit himself to full-time ministry while he was contemplating his life. And while he was staring out into the waters, he took his doctorate certificate like that, and then he threw it into the ocean. Now remember, this was nearly 100 years ago, and a doctorate degree in chemistry from a prestigious university in the United States, that would guarantee a very bright career in China. But he threw it away like trash, like rubbish, because of Christ. That's the having the right perspective of life. Now, brothers and sisters, as we come to grips with this worldview, the realization of a power that enables us to live a life like Jesus, we ought to ask, what change would that be in our lives? Now, if we go back and look at the letter to Philippians closely, the whole letter, it's not hard for us to realize that Paul has repeatedly commanded the Philippians believers to rejoice, urge you to rejoice. "My brethren, rejoice in the law." And he said, "To write the same thing again is no trouble and is safeguard for you." And in chapter 4, he says again, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." The change that ought to happen in our lives when we come to grips with the power of resurrection would be having joy in our lives, be able to rejoice in difficult situations like Paul. And that's the testimony of Christians. I don't know if you have talked to friends or people who comes to the Lord. Sometimes when I talk to new believers and I ask, well, how did you come to Christ? And the reply I get is that, because I see the joy in my colleagues always having that type of joy I don't find in other people, so I ask, and my colleague told me it's because of Jesus, and that's the testimony. Now Captain Marvel doesn't look all that joyful, even though she has all that power within her. That's because she didn't have the power of Christ's resurrection. If Captain Marvel had been another person, Teresa Carpio, she would have been much more joyful, because Teresa Carpio came to Christ many years ago. It was at the time when Teresa was at her lowest point in life when she cried out to Jesus and her life was turned around. So rejoice. Let the resurrection joy lift us from loneliness and weakness and despair to strength and beauty and happiness. Amen. Now I want to ask those of you, you may close your eyes. If you are struggling with life, maybe at work, maybe in your family, that you feel powerless and not able to rejoice, you may raise your hands so I can pray for you. Okay, you may put down your hands. I also want to ask, if anyone who is struggling with bad habits, sins in your life that you can't seem to get rid of, you have to come to the resurrection power that the Lord has empowered you with, and let the Lord turn your life around. And if there is any of you not yet a believer, I urge you to commit your life to Jesus so that the power of his resurrection may set you free and empower you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, you see the hands and you know who is struggling with life. You know which one of us is struggling with bad habits, with sins in our lives. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, open our hearts, because we already have you. And just like Paul says, to know you and to know the power of your resurrection, so that we may have hope in our struggles. We may be empowered to conquer sins and get rid of bad habits. Lord, more on top of that, fill our hearts with joy. And Lord, there are people who have yet to know you, to commit their life to you. Lord, talk to them and give them this hope of resurrection and empower them so that everyone here, we have the right perspective of life, so that no matter what life turns out to be for each individual, we may have the joy that no other people nothing else in the world can give, but only you, Jesus. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.